buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. And Tom has a mouthful right now of Mona's Danish Bakery, their infamous Kringle. Tom, how is that almond paste in the Kringle?
I would upgrade it to famous, not infamous. It's very,
yes,
very good. Yes, it's better than I expected it to be.
Yeah, it's good. And I've promised you that I would bring one in, and I thought today, hey, I've got a smile on my face trying to be positive, and I thought this is a good day to visit Steve up at Mona's Danish Bakery and bring in a Kringle on this Thursday, the 2nd of July, 2020. We're trying to bring people together every day here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Let's get right now to our in-studio interview with Pima County Supervisor, District 4 Republican Steve Christie. Steve, good to see you.
Great to actually see you.
Yep.
Thank you for having me.
In the studio, and folks wondering, we take all sorts of precautions here. Steve wore his mask into the studio. We have, of course, like everywhere else these days, the plexiglass between myself and Steve. So he is here, and we're about 6 feet apart with the plexiglass. Steve, are there any updates on the fire? It looked like yesterday we could have had some rain up at the fire area.
And we did, and I think we're experiencing some more today. And yes, there is some good news. And you know, Bill, this has just been an absolutely devastating fire. Right now, just let me give you some brief facts about the fire itself. Of course, it's in the Santa Catalina Mountains mostly, but it is moving and is very threatening to the Rincon area. And it has now surpassed 118,710 acres.
Bigger than the Aspen fire now.
Aspen fire was approximately
2003.
Was about 73,000. So it's not
a lot bigger.
It's not just bigger. It's significantly bigger. But it is at 58% containment now. And the injuries have been minor with the firefighters, roughly nine of them, but everything on a minor scale. And the kind of sad thing, but necessary thing, is the estimated cost so far has been over $37 million
to fight
this.
Are you kidding?
And it is involved right now. They've got almost 890 firefighters on the line. And, Bill, let me tell you something. I've been very intimately involved with this because it's in my district, and I get updates every day. And my chief of staff, Beth Borazon, is responsible for that area, and she has contacts through that community and the sheriffs and the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service. So we get the most up-to-date and incisive information. And these firefighters are absolute geniuses at what they do. They have a plan. They are executing it beautifully and perfectly. They have been able to use former assets provided from the Aspen fire days that they've resurrected and rehabilitated for use again. I've been saying all along that it's kind of like watching a ballet and a military operation battle, the way they have been conducting the blaze, and they have been able to navigate and maneuver the fire around Summer Haven and other assets that we have up there on Radio Mountain and radio towers and things of that nature. We have lost no structures.
That's amazing.
Zero structures with a 118,000 acre fire. So we all in Pima County and particularly in my district are so grateful and so impressed with our firefighters and the Northern Rockies Incident Management Team for what they're doing and how they're doing it. And it really is a remarkable effort that they've been able to contain this in the manner they have, as devastating as it is. And we owe so much to them, and our hats off.
A couple of weeks ago, we were so close to losing our northern foothills of the Catalinas. And that was just, they were doing some backburns that really, and actual drops that came literally hundreds of yards from homes in Pima Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
Sabino Canyon.
They've done just an outstanding job, and our hats off to all the firefighters.
And one other item that we get daily is an overview map of where the fire is and where it's most treacherous and where it seems to be winning or losing. And they have a system called Ready, Set, Go, where the Sheriff's Department advises certain areas, now get ready. And then if it gets worse, they said, okay, now get set.
Yeah.
And then if full evacuation is needed, it's go. And the latest that was in the go area was in the Reddington Pass area, but it has now been reduced to set. And one of the previous set areas was changed to ready. So things are improving in our trend here. And I guess the best news is the final sentence from the incident commander: no change yet for the Mount Lemmon, Summer Haven, Palisades areas as yet, but it is trending in the right direction finally.
And so they did get some rain.
They did get some rain. And
I probably get some more today.
And the two things that will really control this issue, of course, is rain and then just the overall consumption of fuel till there's no more left to burn.
Your colleague was on the program, on my colleagues here at KVOI, was on Zach Yenser's Tipping Point program, Ramon Valadez, who is your chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. I listened to the interview, and so did you. And it sounds like Supervisor Valadez wants to really play hardball with anybody not conforming with the mandates right now with COVID.
Well, it does seem that way, and I find it tragic and really troubling to our business community. There was a memorandum issued on June 30th by the county administrator, Mr. Huckleberry, regarding the compliance of the June 19th face mask requirement. It was resolution 2020-49, and his statement basically makes the point that, please be advised that the county has received a number of compliance complaints from area residents regarding businesses that are failing to comply with the county's face mask resolution. These businesses have been notified of the county's intent to take enforcement action if compliance does not occur. The lack of immediate acknowledgement of the county's public health requirements and good faith effort to enforce the mask requirements in public will result in an enforcement action that will, if necessary, be authorized by the board after review in executive session at the July 7th, 2020 Board of Supervisors meeting. I'm seeing a two-pronged attack against our businesses with this issue. And it's one prong is being run by the city of Tucson, and the other prong is being run by the Pima County Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors is taking the tact of compliance by going against businesses, by going after businesses. The city of Tucson is going after individuals with fines and with community service hours of any violation. Both are extremely troubling that we would come to the point where wearing a mask can lead to punitive civil penalties and or the shutting down of a business. And it's very troubling. And there, again, is this vacuum of no interaction between businesses and the county to try to find some sort of a bridge where we can work this out together in a more logical and sensible manner. And what it appears now is that the county is getting to the threatening stage, and these businesses that they're going after, and the governor did not help matters the other day, have been devastated, and they have just suffered horrifically. And I get these emails and I get these phone calls from people, just, what do I do? What do I do? And there's confusion. There's no clarity on what is what and what is in compliance and what is not in compliance. I have a good friend who is a personal trainer at one time, and he's morphed his personal training into a rehabilitation clinic for folks who have either had injuries or serious medical operations, hip, shoulder, things of this nature. And he has followed all the protocols. His place shimmers with cleanliness and free of all germs. And he has no more than two, maybe three clients at a time who are going through rehabilitation therapy. They're not lifting weights. They're not doing squats.
Right.
They've got issues with...
They have medical issues.
Medical issues. Yeah. Insurance companies are paying for...
Yeah, that hasn't been talked about physical rehabilitation, and people that desperately need to have that.
And if this, since this edict went through with the governor, he's shut down. This business is shut down for 30 days at least. And what are these folks going to do for therapy to relieve the pain and to try to regain their health? It's tragic.
All right, we're going to continue with Steve Christie in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. We'll take our break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show. You can join us if you would prefer to give us a call. That would be fine, 790-2040. Perhaps you disagree with Mr. Christie. You can voice your opinions on the live line, 790-2040. Be right back, folks.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tushan International Airport. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, and tomorrow I want to do a little promo. We have Will Hummel. Will's been with us a couple of times before. He's been all over the place lately on the national news. He's the former Arizona health director. We'll get his take on all of this. Steve Christie with us, Republican District number 4 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. How in the world is Pima County ever going to recover from this when there are people, Steve Christie, that haven't been out of their homes and interacted with another human being since mid-March?
Well, it's going to be, virtually impossible for us ever to get back to where we would like to be before all of this. And just as another bit of information here, another memorandum from Mr. Huckleberry dated June 29th, and he states right off the bat, the CDC has removed the age of 65 and older as a risk group. Used to be if you were 65 or older, you're at risk no matter what.
You were told no matter what, stay home. That's right.
So that has been removed. So 65-year-old and older are not a risk group. And he does list those that are, and they're incisive. Chronic kidney disease, obesity, heart condition, sickle cell diabetes. The list goes on. Cystic fibrosis, liver diseases, pregnancy, smoking, type 1 diabetes mellitus. And these are probably a dozen or so underlying health issues that these folks should be sheltering at home.
Yes.
These folks should not be out and about.
No.
These are the ones that need to be protected, and these are the ones that need to be sequestered, and let the healthy ones go back to work.
And look what's happened with that age group, that so-called millennial group.
Well, the more testing has occurred with them. The 22 to 40-year-olds, there seems to be a significant rise in incidence of infection or contact. But these are the best age groups to have be exposed to this and to contract it because it does the least bit of damage to them. And we talk about herd immunity and things of those natures. This age group that is seeing a rise in cases is the, if there is such a thing, the best ones to have to deal with it.
All right, let's hear what Jeff has to say. Jeff called us at 790-2040. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, howdy. Good afternoon, fellas. Supervisor Christie, I can't tell you what a pleasure and a relief it is to hear someone with a level head speak. I've just got a simple question. The rationale for all these shutdowns, the massive, I'll call it massive statewide shutdowns, is that possibly hospitals could be overwhelmed by all the COVID cases. Specifically in Pima County, I've heard the same thing Supervisor Valadez the other day gave that same rationale. Well, we're going to be overcome with cases. Possibly. My question is, why wouldn't the county at least take some precautionary measure of preparing a facility in advance? It doesn't have to be state-of-the-art like Banner Health or something, but a facility that would accept an overflow of a possible overflow of COVID patients should that happen. A bowling alley, maybe something like that.
Or how about the Casa Elitis Asylum Seeker Center that they transformed?
Or there was talk. There was talk early on about the former hospital that is vacant that could be used.
Certainly.
Go ahead,
Jeff.
So
that's my question.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't the Board of Supervisors tackle that as opposed to just shutting the state down or the county down?
Well, I think your question is a valid one. And I'm kind of being joking about the Casa Elitis asylum seeker, but there was a justification by the board's majority that the Pima County Board of Supervisors should be in the asylum seeker business. And that when that whole issue goes away, this facility could remain as an emergency shelter for fire or flooding or wash incidents or maybe a COVID-19 virus. So we do definitely have the capability and the space to look at that. And it is a great point you're making. But here's another point that I've heard recently. Is that they're talking about the hospital beds and the ICU units and all of the hospitals having roughly an 85 or 87% capacity rate. Well, I've been told that a year ago, that capacity rate was the same as it is today, and that's about the capacity rate they want to run to keep the machine oiled, and that the vast majority of those cases were from the flu. And that was just a year ago, and we didn't hear the outrage and the absolute horror about how businesses were creating this crisis and that businesses should be punished. So you make a great point, and I think we have the facilities should it ever come to that, which may or may not, but if it ever does, we can, I think, utilize what we've got.
And I do recall, and maybe Tom can help me, Tom Fairbanks, when this all started, there was, I think it was called the old Tucson General Hospital or something, that was supposed to be available if we did have the kind of overflow which could happen.
Well, in my own district, the Green Valley Regional, or actually Santa Cruz Regional Hospital, the former Green Valley Hospital, is a beautiful state-of-the-art facility, and they are struggling to fill their beds and to get the services to the community because of a number of reasons. And this would be a great opportunity because some of the hot spots that are being experienced throughout our country. And it's not a one size fits all. We have counties that do have hot spots of the virus, and they're all along the border, it seems. And with this Green Valley Hospital, this would be a great opportunity for any overflow because it's a beautiful, state of the art, brand new building that could take these cases, and that I think would reduce the strain on so many other areas. So I do feel there is capacity, and I do feel there are opportunities to utilize it.
What are you hearing from your friends in the business community about? I mean, you're a former automobile dealer. What are you hearing right now?
Well, they're obviously, it depends on the industry. Some are worse than others. The restaurant industry has been devastated. They have never been able to have any kind of a consistent clarity as to how they can proceed. And here's another thing I need to point out to you, that the public needs to help these businesses in the sense of the public utilizing personal responsibility. Mrs. Christie is a great example of this because she keeps me posted on the retail end of what she experiences. And yesterday, she went by one of the Trader Joe locations, and the line was snaking around the parking lot, and she said, I am not going to go there and stand in this crowded wait in line.
Right.
So she went around the corner up to the one on Grant and got right in. My point being is, if this social distancing and this contact issue is such of a major problem, and I'm not denying that, then shouldn't the if you go by a facility or like a bar or a restaurant and you see a huge bunch of people in it or a long line waiting to get it in, I've done that over the years, and I've said, hell, I'm not going to go in there.
Sure.
I'll go find another bar or restaurant. That's too crowded. You don't run into a burning building. You take personal responsibility, and now is the time for the public to help the businesses not come under the punitive, onerous effects of enforcement that the city and the county are trying to wage upon our business owners.
It gets back, and many, what you brought up, the words personal responsibility. That's been lacking, hasn't it?
I think, quite honestly, people are really doing a pretty good job.
Okay.
I find myself, I'm very sensitive about social distancing. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was wear a mask or social distance, not wear a mask and social distance. And I don't know if that's the case now at all. So these things change so quickly, and it seems that they want to be changed whenever it is an opportune time to shut down a business or to find someone or to make another proclamation.
Do we have time, Tom, to get one more call? You have Greg on the line. Greg, go ahead. I'm quickly running out of time. Your comment.
No problem. First off, Bill, there was an accident just minutes ago at Euclid and Speedway. Paramedics are there.
Wow.
Car just slid into the pole, so I'd say avoid the congestion going west on Speedway. Steve, very quickly, I'd like to see the board do something about the mismanagement over the public defender's office. A guy came to me the other day. His attorney met him in court for the first time and said, now, what were the circumstances when you held up the Circle K? And he was confused because that wasn't his case. He had nothing to do with the Circle K. And Joel Fineman is just more interested in self-aggrandizement than keeping a watch. Maybe something could be done to kind of look into that and get it run more smoothly. Thanks,
okay.
Bill.
Okay. Thank you, Craig.
Sure. Well, obviously, if there are issues that need that kind of attention, there's ways to do that. And I'm very appreciative that he brought it to my attention.
Well, one thing Greg does bring up, I mean, there are other issues here in Pima County, and the COVID is obviously of paramount concern, but you and the board have some real decisions to make here ahead of you.
Well, absolutely. And what is being a complicating matter is the COVID issues and the business community's ability to react to it. And the business community is not getting any cooperation or help or support from our governmental agencies and entities like the City of Tucson City Council and like the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And it should be a priority that businesses get up and running, they can rehire their employees, they can open up for their services, and they can do it safely and intelligently and not be subject to these onerous, draconian regulations that seem to change every other day.
All right, we are out of time, but as we began this segment with Steve Christie, Steve had good news about the situation with the Bighorn Fire, and hopefully with some rain, they can really, really get a handle on that, because I don't see much rain in the forecast for the next couple of days after today. So the good shot at that.
And what, real quick, one last bit of information. In Pima County, the survival rate for the COVID virus is 95.2%.
Very good. Steve Christie, thank you. It's good to see you,
Great
Steve.
To see you. Thanks for having me, and thanks for the Kringle.
Mona's Danish Bakery, the Kringle. All right, midway point of the Buckmaster Show. We have a primary election, believe it or not. Early voting next week begins. F. Ann Rodriguez with us on the Live Line next.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Speaking of Green Things, your go-to place for everything green. They're 50 years. Wow, 50 years and still growing. I love that, that logo for Green Things over at 3384 East River Road, 13 acres of amazing plants. Then there's Zocalo Village, all that great merchandise, much of it beautiful handcrafted desks and chairs from Latin America as part of the Zocalo Village. So a destination in itself over at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Longtime Pima County recorder F. Ann Rodriguez with us on the live line. F. Ann, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Phil. How you guys doing?
Doing pretty well. July 6th is the deadline to register to vote in the August 4th primary election. F. Ann, I've been in town a long time, as have you. I've never seen an election cycle like this with COVID just dominating the headlines. There are a lot of people, F. Ann, that have no idea that we have an election around the corner.
Well, I think that with the with what the local news is going, the political signs that they're going out and about, which people are not traveling as much around inner city unless they're running some errands, they're starting to get mailers. They've been doing, the candidates have been doing Zoom. Obviously, I've been doing some press releases and some mailers, so I think people are now starting to get engaged in it. So the first thing they need to do is make sure that they're properly registered. So Monday is the cutoff, July 6th. We'd rather have people do it sooner rather than later. And if they're unsure if they're actually registered or they moved and did they forget to update, you can go to my website, recorder.pima.gov, and you click on check your registration. And you fill out the information, and they'll tell you what the latest information that we have on you. The easiest way to register to vote is through Motor Vehicle Division, which is Service Arizona, and fill out all the information that they ask you. Follow, it's pretty self-explanatory, follow all the prompts, especially when you get to the political party. Now, and for the primary race, Bill, you know this is a partisan election, so there's a lot of Democrat and Republican candidates that they can choose from. There's a lot of competitive races out there. For those that are registered independent or party not designated, they can still stay that political party, but if they want to participate in the election, they have to tell our office which ballot to mail to them. You know, it's part of the process. And, for example, I believe it's the county attorney's race and the assessor's race, or there may be a few write-ins, I can't remember, that it's all decided in the primary. And those are just some examples. But, you know, those people that are registered independent or party not designated should not sit out in the primary. You just have to tell us which ballot you want either mailed to us, or if you go to one of my early voting sites or at the polling location on election day, which political party ballot you want to be issued. It does not change your registration, but that's how the process works. So people need to be engaged. But like I said, the first thing is to be making sure you're properly registered. So Monday, my downtown office and my east side recorder's office will be open to 7 o'clock. Our phone lines will be also open to assist any voters with any questions they may have. Clean Elections mailed out their pamphlets yesterday, so we've been getting quite a few phone calls on that. So it's time for citizens to get engaged. Government is doing what we need to do to prepare for it, and citizens now need to do what they need to do to be prepared so that we have a smooth election. You know, one of the things regarding the COVID issue, yes, we're prepared. The state of Arizona has been allocated funding to do the safe issue to protect our workers and the voting public. But, you know, we're pushing right now voting by mail because It's a safe, secure process in the state of Arizona. It is not new to this state. It may be new to other states, which we've been kind of seeing what's happening. But, you know, we are having problems getting poll workers. Poll workers don't, it's a long day, it's 15 hours. A lot of them are elderly. They have, you know, health conditions, don't want to be subject to people, you know, coming in and out that line. So, you know, we've got to do that one and be good citizens for the citizens here in Pima County. But we offer you various methods of how you can participate in the voting process.
How about overall voting by mail? What percentage will be voting by mail, FN?
Well, it's been traditionally that here in Pima County, 80% of the citizens that actually do cast a ballot are already doing it by mail.
Wow.
So it's a big, huge thing. And we understand there are people that I've had several phone calls that they insist they still want to go to their polling location on Election Day. That will still happen. Your polling location may change because, remember, Pima County uses a lot of church facilities. They use a lot of schools. And none of these facilities are open right now.
That's right.
So there's a lot of polling location changes that people need to pay attention to. So, you know, don't procrastinate. They may change their mind at the last minute. And you know, I'm not in charge of polling location. I just happen to know this information. So, you know, if you want a smooth election, vote by mail. Go to one of my early voting sites because we don't control what happens at polling location facilities. Will there be enough poll workers? Because I convinced two people that were complaining. And I says, you know, you just mentioned earlier you're recently retiree and that I pulled up the records. I knew they were a young retiree. I says, why don't you step up and become a poll
why
worker?
Why not?
Participate. Help us be part of the solution, you know. And he said he was right, and he was going to step up and volunteer.
Oh, good.
And go to the training and go through that process to see how it is, you know. So there's a wealth of information on recorder.pima.gov. Or they can simply call us at 724-4330. Our phone lines will be open on Election Day until 7 p.m. Our two recorders offices at downtown and at Broadway and Kolb will be open until 7. And citizens need to do their participation. But don't procrastinate. Do it now, you know, so we don't bog down the Service Arizona system. Because remember, that's a system that's used statewide.
Does this feel weird to you this time around, not being part of the election, being on the ballot? I mean, 24 years, right?
28 years.
28. Wow.
I've been in office 28 years, but I actually ran my first time in 1988.
Really?
And yes, and I actually lost, and then I came back.
Do you recall who that was up against?
I ran against Richard Kennedy, the late Richard Kennedy. He was a former city council member, and then he was the recorder. But I lost in a countywide race by only 4,000 votes. So I've been engaged in this community. You know, I go back to when I was young. I was born and raised here in Tucson, so I'm a native Tucsonan. So I've seen our community reach and grow out there, Oro Valley and Sadarita, Miranda. They were farm communities. They didn't even exist. But now, and I welcome all the people that have moved here. So I've seen it grow, but I graduated from South Point Catholic High School in 1972. Mm. And so I've been engaged in this community, but I was a deputy registrar when I was 18 years old doing civic duty, getting people registered. So I kind of like grew through it.
Yeah.
Through the process. And then I ran the family business for 13 years. And that's another story in itself. But again, encourage people to participate. You know, we all have got to do our part. You know, we've been reaching out to the military overseas that are stationed overseas, and they're already casting ballots because they're allowed to do it 45 days earlier than everybody else. But we'll be starting mailing ballots on Wednesday the 8th.
Wow.
Yeah, and we have 344,000 people that will be receiving a ballot so far. We are also working on July 4th to keep processing the voter registration forms and the voting request. I have a great staff, Bill. I can't do this on my own. I don't take full credit at all.
Going to have to run real fast. Okay.
Okay. So there you go, and happy 4th of July, and be
Same
safe out there.
Thanks.
Okay?
FN Rodriguez, always a pleasure talking to FN. And we're going to take our break right here in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Attorney Don Luce is next on the Buckmaster Show.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Tom Fairbanks, did Jeff call in yesterday after we did the Silver City read? I think his name was Jeff, wasn't it? He and his wife had enjoyed a visit over there. Remember that? You posted
yes.
that for me, and we were already into the final segment.
Right.
I believe it was Jeff, and Jeff said
he and his wife had been over there and they really enjoyed it.
They had heard us talking, and we send so many of our listeners to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive. Good starting place for your trip over there when you're ready to go. A lot of people are. They want to get going, hit the road. It's southwestnewmexico.org for places to stay and things to do. Let's welcome now on the live line Attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. I want to talk about these astounding numbers for the Arizona, the verdicts that were rendered, civil verdicts in 2019. But before we do that, just a quick note. We're starting to see some legal pushback, aren't we, on to the governor's, some of the governor's orders.
We are. In fact, I think most of your listeners are probably aware there is a lawsuit against the governor brought by a Phoenix gym owner who contends that the shutdown order is unconstitutional. I don't know where that's going to go, and I don't know how that will play out. But the last I heard, the gym owner had refused to close the gym and was actually cited by Scottsdale PD for violating the executive order that Governor Ducey issued a couple of days ago. Interesting times in which we live. And I think owners of businesses who refuse to comply with the executive order put themselves in a particularly legalist, perilous situation, because an executive order is the law.
It is. And it's something, though, that will be talked about in law school, I'm sure, Don Luce, for generations to come, isn't it?
Well, we live in unprecedented times, and I know that word unprecedented has been used hundreds of times in the last several months. But truly, in my entire life, I have never lived through a period where there have been two shutdowns essentially back-to-back spanning a total of approximately 3 months. That's very unusual.
And, of course, that shutdown, that curfew, unprecedented statewide curfew that had never been issued in Arizona's history.
Exactly. Good point.
About the Arizona civil verdicts, what do we have here? What was the total number? I'm looking at this. $156 million in verdicts in 2019. One of those verdicts was absolutely huge, Don Luce.
Well, that was the largest at 58 million. That was in Maricopa County. The facts of this case are really, really interesting. And because the verdicts have been publicly reported, I'm going to take liberty and use the names of the parties. A company by the name of Biological Resource Center held itself out as a body donation center committed to scientific and medical research. And several families allowed a biological resource to collect their loved ones' remains, believing that the bodies would be used to advance science and medicine. After an FBI investigation and a raid on the facilities, the families learned that their loved ones had in fact been mutilated after death and sold piecemeal for a variety of non-medical and non-scientific purposes.
Oh my goodness.
It's terrible. It's terrible. There was a 4-week jury trial, and the jury found in favor of 10 of the 21 family members and awarded $8 million in compensatory damages. Now, compensatory damages are those damages that are intended and designed to compensate the victims for their loss. So $8 million in compensatory and $50 million in punitive. Now, punitive damages are designed to punish the wrongdoer and to ensure that others might take notice that this type of behavior and activity is frowned upon in society. And if you engage in it, you too may be punished with punitive damages. So the total verdict was $58 million. Hmm. That's the number one largest verdict in Arizona in 2019. Pima County had three of the top 10, however, which really? I find pretty interesting, because by size, we're only about one-fifth the size of Maricopa. The largest in Pima County was a lawsuit brought against the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel. This was a tragic case. A Chinese tourist drowned in the pool at the hotel in 2017. The plaintiffs contended that the decedent was attending a convention and stepped into the shallow end of the hotel pool and unknowingly drifted to the deeper end, where she drowned. The estate alleged that the hotel's pool was poorly lit, lacked a divider rope between the shallow and deep ends, and had an unreasonably steep slope, which would be a design defect. Hmm. The jury awarded the estate $5.5 million in damages. So wow. that was the largest award in Pima County. But there were two others. The tied for sixth, and there were three. Interestingly, last year, of the top 10 largest verdicts in Arizona, three of them were for $5 million to the penny. So there were three verdicts that were tied for sixth, and one of them was a Pima County case. Again, very, very sad facts. The decedent, it was a wrongful death case. The decedent was a 20-year-old student who went to Sierra Tucson for treatment for substance addiction and obsessive compulsive disorder. His treatment required a 24/7 bedside nurse who fell asleep while supervising him. 4 days after checking in, he was found unresponsive and he subsequently died. His mother brought this wrongful death action, alleging that the nursing staff and the patient care assistants fell below the standard of care. And the jury awarded the estate $5 million in compensatory damages.
That's interesting. So you said that the three cases were right around the same amount of money. We're quickly running out of time. Have these numbers been going up over the years, Don Luce, these awards?
Well, they have. The top verdicts for last year were higher than for the last couple of years before that. The lowest verdict on last year's top 10 list would have been the sixth largest in 2016 and the fourth highest in 2017. So, yes, the numbers are increasing. But as you saw, the two cases that we discussed in Pima County both involved people dying, and that's within the personal injury wrongful death category. The average plaintiff's personal injury verdict statewide was about $800,000. But here's what I find interesting. The median plaintiff's personal injury verdict was only $53,000. So what that tells me is you have some very, very large verdicts, and then you have some that are very close to the median of $50,000. The trend is nationally for increased verdict amounts. And just real quickly, nationally, the largest verdict in 2019 was $8 billion,
which
was a peanut. Makes our $58 million seem a little puny by comparison. But that was the $8 million punitive damage award was against Johnson & Johnson in a Pennsylvania case involving
that.
The wrongful marketing of an antipsychotic drug to teens. So
all right.
We have billion-dollar verdicts nationally. No billion-dollar verdict in Arizona in 2019.
Not yet, anyway. Don Luce, thank you very much. Your two books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both in their second printing and both widely available on Amazon and other sites as well. Don, thank you very much. Stay safe.
Thank you, Bill. You too.
Thanks a lot. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of engineer, producer, Tom Fairbanks, there you are. I know it was somewhere on the tip of my tongue. Have a great afternoon.